welcome to the Orient Outlook podcast with myself, Steve Nussbaum, and as always, my good friend, South Stan Chum, the bearded legend, the one, the only, Mr. Paul Levy.
Thank you very much indeed. Welcome back, everybody. This is episode number 96 of the Orient Outlook podcast, and it's not been an average week because there's been no real dramas and just the one game to mull over. So
yeah,
I think we should just crack on, really.
Let's do this.
No reason not to.
So, supporters club updates. There's only four journeys left, starting on Saturday. Newport away, massive match, departs at 8:30 a.m. from Brisbane Road as the coach. It is £27 to get on that and £24 concession, so if you haven't got anything to do on Saturday, book that up straight away. And then that's followed on Tuesday the 14th of March at Accrington away, coaches depart Brisbane Road at 1 p.m. That costs £30 and £27 for concessions. Then Easter Friday, Good Friday, Luton away, Friday 14th of April, the coaches depart 12 noon. That's only £20 and £17 for concessions. And then the big one, hopefully by then, we'll already know we'll be staying in League 2, but if we don't, there'll be coaches going to Blackpool, departs at 8 a.m, £30 or £27 for concessions. Sorry, £27 concessions with a £3 surcharge to non-members. You can book two ways before any home game at supporters club, on match days or on the travel line on 077 135 970.
I asked my wife yesterday if she fancied a weekend in Blackpool. She said, when would you, like, not really, no, but when were you thinking? I was like, well, Orient are playing on the 6th of May, it'd be a great coincidence if, you know, but she won't have any of it. But
hopefully it'll be.
Hopefully going to be there,
hopefully
either way.
The staying up Orient Outlook party on the Saturday night, we'll imagine. Find a venue and get that done if that happens.
Okay, we also had an update from the Leighton Orient Trust, which says, a massive thank you from the staff and service users of charity Headway East London to all those who donated towards the bucket collection at the game last Saturday. The charity, who are based in Hackney, helped those suffering with brain injuries, and a tremendous total of £614.20 was raised to help the cause. Oh, supporters at their finest once again.
Yep, so well done, £614 yeah. Raised.
I didn't even see that bucket.
I think I saw two people as we came out of the gardens, I think.
Right.
I think they were wearing the purple T-shirt. So, also, the Trust said, a big thanks to defender Callum Kennedy, who joined the residents of Doreen, Capstan House and Leytonstone on Thursday for a game of boccia as part of the Trust's Extra Time Second Half Older People's Programme. The project has been running for nearly 7 years, and Callum follows in the footsteps of players such as Ben Chorley, George Porter, remember him? George
yeah.
Porter, yeah. Alex Revel, Sammy Moore and Jack Payne in supporting this great community initiative. So well done to Callum and the team.
We'd like to wish Aldersbrook Primary School football team from Wanstead the very best of luck as they travel to Wickham Wanderers on Monday to play on the Adams Park pitch representing Leighton Orient at the prestigious Kinder Plus Sport EFL Schools competition, the Kids Cup. If successful against their League 2 counterparts from the south of England, they will go on to play the Northern winners at Wembley prior to the League 2 playoff final. Go on, the Aldersbrook Primary.
So we'll keep an eye on that one. That'll 100%. Be on Monday. I know when the girls team played in the same tournament a couple of weeks ago, the Trust were like, kept tweeting, and the girls were quite unlucky from Redbridge. I think they lost in the semis to Fulham. So we'll keep an eye on that one on our Twitter on Monday.
Well done.
So we also received an email from Ben Frostick following the Notts County match. So we received this, I think, while we were recording the last episode. And he said, hi guys, not sure if you remember me, but I'm the listener from Korea. I managed to make the game versus Notts County. I was actually sitting on the same row as you, although I couldn't get across to say hello. That's because obviously we get mobbed at half time with all the fans and the autograph signs and stuff like that. Ben. He also said, it was my first game this season and I was a little worried about the potential atmosphere at Brisbane Road, but I was pleasantly surprised with the turnout, and despite a little dip around 2-1, the South Stand was rocking. The game itself, a lot of players put in a decent shift. The first half seemed all Orient, but we somehow went in 1-0 down. No final ball. I won't name any players, but there were too many crosses to nobody or misplaced passes in the final third. That was a theme throughout the game. Oh, and that second Stead goal, that was a foul all day long. But it should be noted, they had two ex-Premiership strikers on the pitch, and who knows, maybe that could have been the difference between the teams. I'll be continuing to listen in this vital end to the season, and hopefully the lads can put in as much effort as yesterday and can start to finish more chances. I'm relocating to London in the summer, and I hope I come back to a league team. Come on, you O's.
Yeah, so do we. We really do. We also received an interesting email from Glenn Bevan, who said, for some reason, I felt that the conceding just after half-time this season has been a myth, so I decided to work it out statistically. And Glenn has statistically worked it out. So in the period of the game from 0 to 15 minutes, we've conceded 3 goals, yep, which counts as 6% of all of our goals conceded. In the 15th to 30th minute, we've conceded 4 goals, which accounts for 8% of our goals. And in the 31st to 45th minute, we've conceded 9 goals, which is 18%. Then from 46th to 60th minute, we've conceded 15 goals, which accounts for 30% of all our goals. 61 to 75, we have 8 goals conceded, which accounts for 16%. And 76 to 90 is 11 goals at 22%. So that's 50 goals overall, and obviously the overall percentage being 100%. So you can see then that from 31 to 45, and then 46 to 60 and 61 to 75 are all really big, really big times when we can see goals. That middle chunk of the game, not the beginning or the end, but unbelievable, really, when you look at it statistically.
So Ben went on to say, we've in fact conceded 30% of our goals during the 46 to 60 minutes period, therefore proving the theory correct. Each 15 minutes represents 16.6% of the match duration, so you would expect to concede 16.6% of goals during each period if it was an exact science.
Mm.
So this means we have conceded almost double the percentage of goals during the period that you would expect. He also ended the email by saying, if we had conceded 0 goals during this time period, we'd be top on 97 points. And he goes on to say, okay, I made that last bit up. So cheers for that, Glenn. Cheers for that email. That's a great email, actually, full of interesting stats.
Love a stato.
That was correct, obviously, up until the game yesterday.
Yes, which absolutely. Which changed it. A couple of announcements. Happy birthday to friend of the podcast, Darren Houghton. Well done for keeping that a secret. Yep. Don't look a day over 30.
Yeah, happy birthday, Darren. And obviously, IT director of the On Outlook podcast, earning a wage back in the office.
Absolutely.
We live in the glory. And also, congrats to Mark Schaffer and his family on the birth of his son, Ethan.
Another early in the week.
So, so congratulations. A bit of good news there for those in the week. So
absolutely.
Moving on to the week that was.
The week that was, Monday the 20th of February. Danny Webb spoke to George Sessions and he said, from where this team has come over the course of the season, there are real positive signs. I said to the boys, you're being kicked in the nuts every week, and just when you think you can't get any more, another kick comes in. But they're taking it and they're not going down. They're not throwing it in, and everybody should be proud of them. I can't thank the supporters enough. They're seeing what I'm trying to do and they are seeing what I've got with the young lads, and they're giving it back. So really, really positive words from Danny. He does speak very well.
He does, and considering we lost the Notts County game, it's all very positive after the match, which was a great thing to see. So also on Monday, Paul McCallum revealed to George Sessions that he isn't really over his injury sustained a few weeks ago. So Paul said, the scans revealed my injury is bad, but it is not as bad as last year. So I'm playing, but with a few ligaments that aren't attached. I mean, that sounds painful, man.
I wouldn't do it.
If someone kicks me when I'm playing football on the leg with a ball, my ligaments are intact, it hurts, and I have to kind of sit down. And
it only takes a little nudge in his knee, and he's gone.
Yeah, so Paul also went on to say, I can play through that, and I feel like I can still contribute goals and help us move out of the relegation battle. So top man, Paul. But you made a good note, actually. A good
yeah, opinion. I mean, for me, this is phenomenal on the one hand. You know, you shouldn't underestimate the commitment, but potentially really dangerous and harmful in the long term. Yeah. If he's not rested and the ligaments don't reattach, and or they reattach, if they can reattach wrong or badly or out of shape or whatever they should do, if something goes wrong, then his leg is done for life.
Yeah, I mean, we'll come on a bit more to Paul's injury.
Because ligaments join muscle to bone.
Yeah, I mean, when you get a bad injury, like ligaments are a vital piece of your leg. Bone to bone.
It's either they join muscle to bone or bone to bone. I can't remember which way around it is.
Basically, if you want to play football, you need your ligaments intact, basically.
Exactly. You can't afford to have them hanging off your knee somewhere. Yeah. You just really can't.
So more on Paul McCallum later when we go through the Cheltenham match. So Tuesday, 21st of February, the club announced a special buy one, get one free ticket offer. And a statement read on the website said, the club are delighted to offer fans the opportunity to get 2 games for the price of 1 as the O's look to pack the Matchroom Stadium for the remainder of this 2016-17 Sky Bet League 2 campaign. So everyone buying a ticket for our fixture against Grimsby Town on March 11th will automatically receive an additional one in the same stand for the encounter with Doncaster Rovers on March 18th for free. CEO Alessandro Angeleri did say, between now and the end of the season, we want to get as many of you through the turnstiles as possible to help the team, and with you behind us all the way, we feel we can play the type of football to get you off your seats and cheering. So good work to all involved there.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? That's the first decent statement that Alessandro's put out this year?
Well, since his operation, obviously, and since he had that little heart misuse.
Yeah.
But, yeah, good to hear that.
Good work. Yeah, absolutely brilliant. The club announced that Tom Parks' injury isn't as bad as its first thought. Physiotherapist Peter Webb told the official website, during Saturday's game, defender Tom Parks was taken to hospital for checks on his pelvis, as during primary assessment on field, we thought there was a chance it was a serious injury. It was not as bad as we thought, which is a positive for us all, although very painful for him. Currently, the medical department will look to get Tom back into a Leighton Orient shirt as soon as possible. So, really good news. Wish you all the best in your recovery. Obviously, we're talking about this as we go along.
Yeah.
We know he played yesterday. We were there. Yeah. Okay, so just in case. So this is written at the time.
And then on Tuesday evening, bottom of the table, Newport played their game in hand and they drew 1-1 at home to Morecambe. So they moved 3 points behind us with the same number of matches played and the same goal difference. So it's good there that Morecambe didn't lose, as I think Newport were 1-0 up. And then on the 22nd of February, a quiet news day, but the club's official website and media team came up with a new hashtag that we quite liked, hashtag We Fight Together, and came up with a graphic including lots of players from this season and something good for all involved. So we were very happy with that one.
Yep. And then on Thursday, slightly bizarrely, someone was on eBay, obviously looking at Leighton Orient stuff, and found a season ticket with the COO's name on it, Vito Michelli. So somehow a season ticket has ended up on Facebook. Now, it's obviously not Vito's personal season ticket because he doesn't need one. Because
even though it's in his name.
But it is in his gallery, name. Yeah. He sits on the balcony, obviously, as preferential, as he's part of the management of the club. But from our understanding, he has friends or family
tickets,
who he gives it to. And obviously, it needs a name on it for it to go through the system. So that's how that has ended up. And it's a bit disingenuous that one of his friends or family have tried to sell. I think it was 150 quid it started at.
Yeah.
And I think it ended up like 50
sold
quid.
For 50, but...
But that's a bit rude. You don't sell a free season ticket. But you give it back to the person who gave it to you.
It depends whose hands it's ended up in, but a bit of bad publicity for the club. Didn't spread as much nationally as that could have, which I guess is the only kind of positive on that. So Friday, 24th of February, happy 18th birthday to Miles Judd.
Yeah, that was a quick spot, that one. So happy 18th birthday. And also it was Josh Abrahams' birthday on exactly the same day.
It?
So happy birthday to
happy
Josh.
Happy birthday, Josh. Yeah, good spot.
Yeah, I hope you enjoyed Top Golf. That's where he's going for his mates. Yeah. The club announced that they have purchased a replica of the shield as presented to the team that won the 55-56 Third Division South Championship, and that Phil McKnight and Sid Bishop will be present on Saturday afternoon for the unveiling in the Olympic suite in front of invited guests. After the unveiling, the shield will be permanently on display in the club reception area. So a lovely, you know, we do one thing we do really, really well at Leighton Orient is recognising the history of the club.
Absolutely.
And not only with Steve Jenkins and they took the lead and our war efforts, but things like that.
Yeah, good to
you
see.
You know, while thank God these people are still alive, we should be remembering them
in
this way. So fair play to the club. Well done.
Yeah, and then Paul McCallum spoke to George Sessions, ahead of the Cheltenham game, and said, "We've stopped watching videos of the other team, which I believe is the right thing to do. Everybody's pretty similar in the league, except for the likes of Doncaster Rovers and a few others. We know pretty much what to expect. So during the week is all about what we are going to do and how we are going to win the game. Now we're focusing on how we can affect the match rather than what the opposition are going to do to us." So I quite like that.
I do as well.
That's a good thing.
I mean, it might be slightly naive to not look at opposition and see what their real key strengths are, see what they're going to do from set plays. That might be a bit naive, but you know, the focus is on what we do. And a lot of teams, I think Russell used to do that as well in a way. He used to focus on what we're good at and play to our strengths rather than trying to stop them playing. Because then it stops your game playing if you're trying to stop them playing.
Basically, lads, all you've got to do is watch Matt Bristow's blogs on a Friday night, Saturday morning. That'll give you most of the info that you need anyway.
Exactly. That's very true.
So,
25th of February.
Yep, so in the morning, the under-18s lost 5-1 away to Stevenage. Under-18s, even though they've won the league, have had a few disappointing results of late.
Yep.
But I guess that's what happens when all your
first
best players end up in the first
team.
So the consolation goal was scored by Ruel Sotiriou, who scored the goal from the penalty spot. I can just about get that guy's name now after about the fifth week of trying. So. Cheers, Ron.
And then in the afternoon, Cheltenham were the visitors at the Matcham Stadium. We had Sargent in goal, Judd, Mezaguez, Parks and Kennedy with a back four. Karoma, Atangana, Collins, Semedo and McCallum and Massey were up top. Substitutes, Charlie Granger, Pollock, Clark, Moore, Alzate, Liebird and Dolby. So effectively the same lineup as last week. Paul McCallum continues as the captain and Pollock comes in on the bench instead of Freddie Moncur, which I don't know why.
I think it's probably because they knew Parks might not last, so they wanted two centre-backs on just in case, I would have thought. So your
but why on why Moncur, not Alzate over Moncur then?
You'll have to ask Mr.
Webb. I know, I'm just, just one of those things. Okay, I thought decent side. Surprised that Parks is available, to be honest. Yeah. So obviously hope him and Mecca don't injure themselves.
Yeah. For me, yeah, I like it. I had a feeling Parks might start. We say this every week, you know. They don't really tweet news about players, but I think that's intentional. So the opposition don't know who's going to start.
Yeah, keep them guessing.
But great to see. And a nice little tweet by Notts County, who wished Tom Parks well.
They did.
In the week. I thought that was a real touch of class. That was a real touch of class. So real nice. So like, we had quite a few tweets before the game. One, I think, was quite good, actually, by Orient Dave. Said, would prefer Massey out wide. I think he can get more of the ball out there,
which is true, because a few people around us said that as well.
We'll come to that a bit later. I think a few people tweeted about that after the match, but it was a good little tweet there. So thanks for all your tweets before the game. If you want to tweet us, you can at Orient Outlook.
It's been a long time since you said that, and we're on email orientoutlook@outlook.com. Let me help you out with that. So we were originally going to be kicking to the north to the south stand, our stand, in the first half, but then they had a changeover, so we kicked off attacking the north stand to start with.
As people who sit in the south stand, obviously the second half is more gung-ho, isn't it? So it's always good to see. So match kicked off, good atmosphere again, actually. It's quite loud. First 10 minutes we looked all right. 10th minute, Cheltenham should have taken the lead, really. A free kick came in, and Tim Blavotic brung the ball down. I think he must be a defender. He was in a really good position, like completely unmarked, just inside like our 6-yard box, sliced it wide. Really poor defending, and he should have scored. And then 2 minutes later, a bit more pressure from Cheltenham as Wootton shot over the bar from about 20 yards. So bit under the cosh.
Yeah, and then we had three chances in quick succession.
Yep.
Karoma's cross is saved. The ball came out to Massey, who shoots before the keeper claimed the ball.
Yeah, and in the 15th minute, Atangana shoots into the side netting from close range, featuring some really good build-up play.
Very decent build-up play.
For me, I think at the time, I didn't realise how good a chance that was from the north stand.
That's gone across the 6-yard box.
Yeah, and he's made the run and he's sliding in. But that was a gilt-edged chance. I mean, if that falls to like a Massey running in from midfield.
Or a Simpson or a Lisby.
Absolutely, it's a goal. But Atangana, he got a bit of slack yesterday. But I think in the first half, he was everywhere. And like, he could have ended up with a hat-trick, as we'll come on to.
Do you know what,
the chances he had.
The angle that he was at was quite far past the far post. Yeah. So it was a real tight angle to cut that back in, and especially as he slided. I can't really fault him. I mean, you could probably, but I'm not going to, because I think that's a tight angle.
Yeah, yeah.
And in the real cut and thrust of play, it's easy to sit at the thing and say, oh, you should have done better, or watch it back on video and think, oh, you should have done better. But
agonising the moment, wide that one.
Yeah, and it was just side netting, unlucky. In the 20th minute, Callum Kennedy's cross is volleyed by Atangana as he runs into the box, and the keeper saves well, then saves the rebound from Atangana, a bit of a scramble, but he did claim it. He's made some fantastic saves.
The initial save from Atangana was brilliant.
Yeah.
That was a fantastic save. And then he got the rebound. And then the ball comes out to McCallum, and you're thinking, he's going to just smack this in. And then somehow the keeper gets it, and a bit of a scramble, and it goes away. But you're just sitting there like, God, how many times, how many chances are we going to have before we score? And then, same old story. You can listen to most episodes from this season and you'll hear the same thing. Having full-set keeper to make four decent saves in the first 20 minutes, Cheltenham took the lead in the 21st as Billy Walters controlled the ball from a goal kick, tees up Carl Winchester, fires into the bottom corner, completely against the run of play, and it's 1-0. So long ball from their keeper. Their man beats Mezaguez to the flick-on, lands at Billy Walters' feet. Good bit of skill there from Billy Walters.
Yeah, kept it well.
And Winchester hit it well, low, very early. And then from when we were behind the goal, it looked like it was quite a slow shot, but when you see it back on TV, it was really fast and a good finish. And a few people behind us commented that Chizak, obviously being taller than Sam, has got a bigger reach, so when he goes down, his arms are longer, that he might have got there. But I think that's a that's maybe harsh. A bit of disservice on Sargent there. I think
because it's really right in the finish. Corner.
He's placed it really well.
Yeah, yes,
he's placed it really well.
And do you know what? Our luck. If we'd have tried that, that'd have gone wide.
Oh, if we do that, it hits the post and comes out. And
yeah, wide. Goes to the keeper.
So we found ourselves 1-0 down.
In 21 minutes. Yeah. So plenty of the game still to go. And the 28th minute, Semedo's cross is headed down by Caroma. Ball comes back to him, but he shoots. But the keeper manages to hold on to
it. Yeah, the keeper was playing very well. He was very reliable,
well,
actually.
The keeper.
He has. And in the 40th minute, probably best chance, I'd say, in the first half. Collins wins the ball in their box, puts in a low cross, finds Caroma. Ball's coming to him, Caroma's coming onto it just on time, really nicely. It sits up perfectly for Caroma.
On the penalty spot.
On the penalty spot roundabout, and he hits it over the bar. He just put his laces through it.
And
a bit too
me,
hard, a bit
that,
too over.
That should be on target all the time. Even if the keeper saves it, it should be on target.
Don't forget that, mate. This isn't a season pro we're talking about. This is someone who's playing like their fourth or fifth game. So the ball was coming out to him. It's a fair play to Collins. Collins done very well there, putting a great ball.
Yeah.
And if that falls to like a Collins or an Atangana, someone a bit more experienced, a bit more composed.
I disagree.
Maybe they hit it.
Because he'd have had that. That wouldn't be the first time he's been in the penalty box.
It would be with a chance to open as that in his professional career playing in front of Bisburn Road. I think if that came to like someone like a Vincelo or a Lloyd James, a more experienced central midfielder or more experienced winger, they put their foot through it and score. And Caroma will probably score that in 2-3 years when he's had a bit more experience.
But I still think, he should have done better. For me. I know that's critical, but you know, we created a lot but didn't score any.
And
someone's come to our ground, not done very much, nicked a goal and walked away with all 3 points, as we'll come on to. So anyway, half time, 2 minutes of stoppage are played and we go in 1-0 down. We created lots in the first half and really should have scored. And as Danny Webb said post-match, we should have put the game beyond them in the first half. Their keeper played a blinder. Parks looked like he was struggling from early on.
Parks was struggling from about 25 minutes. He kept looking at his protective strapping, whatever he was wearing, and kept kind of feeling around. It was at one point, it looked like he was feeling for blood. Like he was looking and then looking at his hand. Like, you know, like when you think you're bleeding somewhere and you look. But he was struggling, but I guess he'd done well to even make the lineup, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Cheltenham kept targeting Judd on our right hand side. Good spot by you.
Yeah, I mean, I think Judd's done really well, but we've seen that a couple of times where he seems to be targeting
Notts County
because he's a bit smaller and looks a bit less physical.
Diminutive.
Presence as what. But they were proper targeting it in that half.
Yeah, and Teddy wasn't giving him the support that he needed all the time. Nigel started but faded. Started well but faded. Massey couldn't get really in the game. And I think as Orient Dave alluded to, you know, him being out on the wing is much more effective than him playing up front or behind the striker.
Yeah, well, I guess when you're on the right wing, you get more of the ball and more chance to influence the game. Because if you're up front and the midfield can't get the ball to you, then you can't really do anything.
Exactly. And can Mezuge stop letting the ball bounce in the area every time? Just get rid of it, son. Clear it.
There's about 3 or 4 times.
My goodness gracious me.
You just like put your head through it.
Deal with it.
He'd kind of let it bounce. And once you let it bounce, it turns into a lottery, doesn't it? Because you don't know where the ball's going and you don't know who's behind you.
100%.
Also, at half-time, it's good to see the under-18s with their league trophy, accompanied by a friend of the podcast, Errol McKellar. So he gave Errol a nice little cheer. He gave us a nice little thumbs up. Absolute ledge, Errol McKellar.
Yeah.
Hope to speak to him soon at some point, as I'm sure we will. So, attendance announced, 4,747. 317 away fans. Not a bad little turnout there.
No, that's pretty decent.
Yep.
Second half kicked off. Michael Clark replaced Tom Parks, making his debut. Another youth player, really. So fantastic to see.
No surprise
that Tom went off there. He was in trouble.
Obviously, hope Tom's arrived for Tuesday, but rather he wasn't risked on Tuesday if he's not 100%.
Correct.
I'd rather to get fit for Saturday 100%, at Newport.
100%. Because we've got
Stevenage.
No, player Hunt. Nicky Hunt's back. We shouldn't need him.
Yeah. Debbed him massive. So 51st minute, Winchester's shot, pushed over the bar by Sargent. That was a
decent save.
Second half, Cheltenham looked a bit more lively than we did. I thought we'd come out and go for it, but they seemed to control it a bit earlier.
58 minutes on the clock. Massey's brought down in the box following some neat footwork. You didn't think it was a penalty, but I do.
So it's a short corner. Went short to Massey, who kind of goes in the box, not really going anywhere, and his quick feet have just fooled the defender. Then there was contact, but I think that was a soft penalty.
It was soft.
I said to you, it's one of those where if Massey's on your team, you appeal for it.
Yeah.
And if you get it, you're like, spot on, ref.
But I've seen him given.
If that's against you, you're thinking that's soft, and you're thinking, ref.
Well, I agree with you, it is soft. But he was brought down in the box and it was stupid of their defender because he was going away from goal.
Oh, he's brought a penalty.
And he's put his leg in front of him. and sort of taken Massey out, really.
Yeah.
But it is a bit soft.
So it was given, and then surprisingly...
Yeah, we were all surprised that Callum Kennedy was...
I guess we all thought it would be McCullum, because obviously McCullum took the last one we had against Crawley and scored it, and obviously placed it in quite coolly.
Yeah.
So Kennedy goes up to take a spot kick, hit it low,
into the corner,
to his right, but the keeper saves it. And to be fair, at the time, I think the whole ground was just like, oh, God.
But I was gutted.
Looking back... Decent penalty. I think for me, there's two things that that leap out. Firstly, is the way Kennedy approaches the ball. Obviously, he's left back, so if they've done the homework on him, which I presume they have, they know he's left footed, so they know it's coming from the left foot. And the angle Kennedy's coming at, and you can see the keeper moves so early because he knows from the run up where Kennedy's putting it. But for me, I've said it before on the podcast, as long as the player hits the target and gets pace on the ball, if the keeper saves it, you go, well, it's a lottery, isn't it? It's not like that. It's not like Kennedy went up, blasted it wide, or blasted it over.
Yeah, he's got it on target. He's gone for the corner.
He just hit it slightly too low. Yeah. And his run-up was completely readable. But that keeper's moved off his yard, off his line, seconds before, you know.
In the run-up. Yeah. He's doing the run-up, yeah. And he's gone. The keeper's
absolutely
gone.
But for me, you know, if why hasn't McCallum taken that penalty? And I think Webb alluded to it after the game, said maybe his fitness was a factor. But that shouldn't be a factor, mate. If your main striker can't or isn't fit enough to take a penalty, then... he shouldn't really be on the pitch. And McCallum's the captain, so whatever McCallum says goes. And apparently McCallum wanted to take it. I didn't see it. I wasn't watching what McCallum's reaction was when the penalty was given.
I wasn't either.
But Kennedy apparently grabbed the ball and McCallum wanted it. And they kind of had words. Not massive words. And Kennedy took it. But surely as the captain, McCallum overrules Kennedy. So McCallum wanted to take it, but I don't know. But like I said, it wasn't a bad penalty. Keeper just sussed it out, went the right way straight away.
65 minutes on the clock. Josh Caroma comes off and is replaced by Sam Dalby. Massey goes to the right wing. Dalby's up top. Caroma was tiring. You alluded to this point while we're at the ground that about 60 minutes, Caroma's generally done.
First half, Caroma's retires. First half, Caroma's really bright, and the same gets Notts County last week, and he gets the hour mark, and he's knackered. But you know, the kid's 18 years old.
And he's playing men's football. Would you rather him then come on in the 60th minute and then just runs the team ragged for half an hour, 35
possibly.
Minutes?
Yeah, good call. Possibly.
So rather bring him on, take Dalby off, bring him on.
I guess it depends where Webb sees Massey starting. If Webb sees Massey starting now as a right winger as opposed to forward, then yeah, definitely. But if Webb still wants to go with Massey up front, then Crome is the only one who can start on the right wing because Massey will have to drop back. But good questions there. Let us know what you think. Is Massey better as a right winger than a forward? Do you want him there? Let us know at Orient Outlook or give us an email. 76 minute, Roman Liebert came off for Paul McCullum and Michael Collins captained the team, which I believe is the first time he's done it. So well done to Michael. For me, you know, McCullum was knackered and like I've said...
He was holding his knee, wasn't he?
He was. And
for one of the corners, you could see him wincing in pain.
You know, yes, he was about 10 minutes before he got subbed. And McCullum isn't the hardest working player anyway, which, you know...
He's not that...
That's his style and that's not a problem. But when he's injured and it hinders him even more than... You know, should he be on that pitch? Should he be on that pitch? I love McCallum. I think it's the best football we've got by a mile. But if he's not fit,
then should he
be playing?
82 minutes. Sam Sargent makes a good save low to his left hand side from Davis's shot.
Yeah, he done well to hold that. And in the 87th minute, Semedo has a crack from outside the area, and Brown does well, tips it wide. Caught that well, Sandro. He's got a bit of confidence now in front of goal since that Plymouth game. He's not afraid to shoot. Unlike a few other midfielders like Collins. Yesterday, ball came out to him a few times, and you're thinking, put your laces through it.
Yeah, and he just won't.
He just won't. Not in his game.
In the 90th minute, Gavin Massey gets booked. That's his ninth yellow card.
Oh, good spot, Mr. Lee.
That is his ninth yellow card. So you could see he was getting a bit frustrated.
He was getting very frustrated. And I said to you, I said, if I was there right back now, I'd go and give him a little kick and get him sent off. Because you could see he was proper getting frustrated.
We have to be careful because, as George Sessions tweeted us saying, it's the second Sunday in March when this stops counting.
Goes out the window. So hopefully
he's got to go, four games?
Yeah, Mass, just don't get booked, mate.
Three games he's got to go.
Just don't get yourself booked, buddy.
Yeah, otherwise we lose him for two games.
Yeah.
And we can't afford to lose him. So 2 minutes of injury time are played and the full-time whistle goes as we slip to our 14th home defeat from 18 league games.
I mean, that's pretty bad. And, you know, that is relegation, which is why we're down there. So After the match, Danny Webb said, "It's going to be more difficult than it has been after previous games to lift the players, because after Notts County there was a real buzz in the dressing room and they were all looking forward to this game. The Cheltenham match arrived and we missed the chance to get a point out of it, and as human beings it is a bit gut-wrenching, but you have to react. I don't expect the players to be laughing and joking, and we'll see what they are like come Monday. They won't have a big spring in their step, so I have to lift them as best as I can." And again, very honest there from Danny. He's not beating around the bush, he's just being honest, and you can only respect him from that.
Yep, at Dulcet Dave tweeted saying, "Danny Webb said today we could have been out of sight after 25 minutes. Disappointed with the goal and the penalty, and that Paul's knee has flared up. Might be a factor in why he didn't take the penalty." Now for me, why doesn't Danny Webb know? Why hasn't he gone in that changing room at full time? I'm not being harsh or picky, but you would expect the manager before the game, if we get a penalty, you're taking it, or it's allocated. And if you're not on the pitch or you have to come off, you're second.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
If you come off, you're third. For me, that's predetermined.
Yeah, I agree.
So why doesn't he know why, coming out to a post-match interview when you've had the players in, what happened in that? The first thing I would say was, "Paul, why didn't you take that penalty?" "Well, Gaffer, Callum said that, da 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 da." Or, "Cal, why did you take that penalty and not Paul?"
Well,
and get to the bottom
of
it.
Well, he said that Paul, he said he thinks that it wasn't, Paul didn't take it because his injury might have been a factor. But if the guy, like I said, if the guy can't take a penalty kick.
But that's not good enough. That's not a good enough answer. Might because of his knee. No, Paul McCallum didn't take it because of his knee.
We can, yeah, absolutely.
And then it comes on to the point that you were just about to make.
Well, we can only speculate, can't we? We can only speculate on what's going on. But hopefully, come Tuesday, they'll know who's taking the penalty.
Because that penalty miss has cost us a valuable point.
Well, if that penalty goes,
I wouldn't normally pick up on it. If we were 3-0 up, I wouldn't care.
Well, if the penalty goes in, you've still got half hour to play.
To go and get a second.
No,
it's galvanised. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
it's cost us the game.
Yeah, he also explained, after the penalty miss, the whole vibe of the place was down, and I can understand that. And said that the youngsters have shown that they are up for it, and Michael Clark was excellent.
He was.
Also, Michael, there was one point where the Cheltenham counter-attack, the Massey was running after his man, and Clark kept pace with Massey. And Massey's a fast
boy.
Like, well done, Michael Clark. You've done really well.
He's like, fantastic.
First I've seen of him, and he was on loan at East Ferwick United earlier in the season, and now he's playing in League Two, and fair play, mate. He was phenomenal.
And I have to say, I noticed that I think predominantly he's left-footed, but he also passed accurately with his right foot.
And he seems to have a good calm. I think someone mentions it in a tweet later. He seems to calm everyone else down around him. And considering you've got now Judd, who's what, just turned 18, Clark,
leader,
who's making his league debut.
Leader.
Mezigay, who's barely played any football in England.
Future Leighton Orient captain.
Well done. Well,
future Orient captain.
After 45 minutes, that's a pretty bold statement to
make. I'm calling it in episode 96, Michael Clark, future
Clark
captain.
Yeah, we'll be sitting here and like, this is episode 597.
Like the next
Michael
Nathan
Clark.
Like his namesake.
Yeah. So league table, we stay 23rd in League 2. So we played 33, only won 8, drawn 5, lost 19. Goal difference of minus 16 and 29 points. So Newport, still bottom. They lost 2-1 away to Mansfield after taking the lead. They always concede Newport. Hartlepool lost 2-1 away to Colchester, and Notts County drew 0-0 at home to the Oval. So had we won, we would have actually leapfrogged Hartlepool, as they are 3 points above us, but we have a much better goal difference, and that can all change like this week, so hopefully things will pick up. So
you hope so, don't you?
Yeah, Mr. Levy, your views in on yesterday?
Yeah, if we can't beat a poor Cheltenham side who offer nothing and didn't really test Sargent, then we really kind of do deserve to go down. Their goalkeeper had a worldie. We probably won't play like that again. Another team that's really come here, not done much, not really offered anything, had one chance really and took it. And unfortunately, it was against the run of play as well, so it sort of took the wind out of our sails a bit. I appreciate the position we're in, and probably a bit more than most, so I won't be too harsh with my criticism. But today's second half was possibly the worst I've seen under Danny Webb. We looked lethargic. We were lacking. There was no oomph. Basic errors being made, passes going astray. For me, I would not have risked Parks and McCallum, purely for the fact that if they get worse, we will need them, and we'll need all bodies, seeing as how Bichetti's decided that he's not going to support Danny.
Madness,
at all. It's disgusting. I would have had more on to replace Collins much earlier, because I thought he was quite poor. And Semedo, for me, I don't feel he's that good a footballer. He hasn't really got, for me, a footballing brain. He offers little most of the time, and it irritates me that 95% of all of his crosses are overhit.
But I think we said this last week, if he overhits balls, then why don't the forwards anticipate that, or the right winger anticipate that?
Yeah, but why should they? Why should
why
can't he cross
into the
box?
Because they know where he was going.
Yeah, but why should a whole team adjust for him? And just to jump back as well. I won't jump back. So that's my sort of criticism on Sandro Semedo. We should have taken points from Notts County and the Cheltenham game. We haven't, which makes going to Stevenage and Newport next week scary prospects. And for me, Teddy Mezeguet needs to stop letting the ball bounce and really just deal with it, because teams are getting the upper hand over him. But to end on a positive, Michael Clark, take a bow.
Yeah,
and for me, he should have started over. He should have started over Tom Parks.
So for me, yeah, decent first half, but we faded in the second. We created enough, and we have done under Danny Webb, so can't argue with that. But first half, their keeper played very well. But like I've said before, if you don't score, you don't win, and they took one chance and took it. Judd done well, but seems to be targeted by opposition in most matches. Foot passing at times was sloppy. There's a few basic errors being made. Can't get my head around the penalty. Really can't.
No. That's what I'm saying. It raises more questions than it answers for me.
We've gone through that, I guess. But after that miss, you knew it wasn't going to be our day. And it's commendable that players want to play for the shirt, you know, like McCallum and Parks. But if not fit, surely don't play him now. And we've got, you know, three games in a week. McCallum's never going to play three games in a week the way he is. Same Parks. Sammy Moore. Surely it's time for Sammy Moore to get some game time, you would think, anyway. I would have subbed Liebert on instead of Dolby. I would have put Liebert on earlier. Just the fact that he cannot play on Tuesday, and Dolby will be involved at some point, so it's staggering the fitness of the players.
I'd have had McCallum off and started with Lee Bird, because Lee Bird can't, and we wouldn't
need
McCallum.
Absolutely. I'm not,
do you know what I mean?
I don't think I would have started with him, but I would have got him on much earlier, knowing that McCallum was struggling. Like in the 58th minute, he couldn't take a penalty, but he's not subbing until the 76th minute. So that's another 20 minutes gone. But it's not over yet. We need to stand up and be counted. And the senior players, you know, with Hunt returning, with your Kennedys, your more experienced players, like your Masses, they need to get the young boys by the scruff of the neck and go, right, come on, this is it.
Yeah.
Because if you fall out of the league, you know, there's no guarantees we'll get back in it. And I've ended the same way as you. Thought Michael Clark did very well. Not even ever seen him play before.
Yeah.
Thought he was ace. So well done, Michael. So
just to correct us from earlier, we've played 33, won 8, drawn 5, lost 20.
Oh, wow.
Lost 20. So it makes for scary reading. But so those were our views, your views, in which there was an absolute sackload of them. So sorry that we can't read out every single one. We tried to take the most salient points from you, rather than sort of perhaps just ranty ones. But everyone's got a valid thought, view and opinion. At 1881 Orient said, that's what we get for not taking our chances. What does Moore need to do to get in the team?
Yeah, Paul R. Gregory said, today is the day we must face up to the fact we'll be a non-league club in August.
Wow, there you go. At Dirk Turk, awful second half, deserved to go down losing to this dross. Still games to turn it around, though.
If Dirk Turk is hopeful, then there's room for...
There's hope for everyone.
Yes, at Andy _PO16 said, two home games against bottom sides and two defeats. I cannot see us coming back from this.
At Orient Boy, relegation for me. Lots of fight, but don't know how to get a point in games. Too many games lost by one goal will be costly in the end. Webb and the players may be trying, but simply not good enough. Boardroom has killed us from 3 years of abysmal mismanagement.
Yeah, that tweet about the boardroom had a lot of favourites and retweets.
I bet it did.
Yeah, at Reedy QB9 says, McCallum is a good penalty taker. So as captain, he has to take the responsibility and step up for me.
Yeah, at Sean Mercer 8, the final nail in the coffin isn't too far away. Didn't seem like much fight and too many players being carried again.
Yeah, Stephen Orient said, very poor in the second half. Why did Kennedy take the penalty? I doubt we can stay up with this group, but the positive was Clark in the second half.
At Chelsea Fish, I love my club, but it's hard to defend that second half performance. It's looking very concerning now. Very concerning.
At Sam Harborne 1 said, that was the worst performance under Webb. Tried in the first half, but surely Massive McCallum should be taking the penalty.
Yeah, at Osfan Basing, bad luck again, but what can you do with no resources? Midfield without Kelly, just not good enough. And Parks and Mack not fit. Good point, Osman.
Very good point about Kelly. I mean, he's still up for another four games. So that's a long time to be without him for. And he misses some crucial games.
But you think, you think Stevenage and Newport, that puts him at four games. So it's only another 2 weeks after that. So still, it's mid-March. It's a long time, don't get me wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. Charlie _Paul said, bad performance today, deserve to lose. Need to get back to the positive team we have been over the last few weeks on Tuesday. And, you know, two away games coming up. maybe the players find it easier, maybe the system works better away from home. I guess we'll find out.
Yep, at IMJ Snelling, worst performance under Webb, never had control of the midfield, lazy defending again lets us down.
At Orient Fan TV said, the reason we lost today was too much space given to them in midfield. There's no one battling, missing Kelly so badly. We had chances but never took them.
That's really spot on from our
fans. Matt Bristow said something similar at half time. I didn't even know you're saying we're losing it in midfield. And I got him to explain it and I was like, oh yeah, you're right actually. It wasn't even.
They were standing off, they were at the sides of the pitch. They weren't really where they needed to be.
They had an extra man who kept coming back into it and they just kept beating us to it, didn't they?
Yeah. At Dear Stew, should have been out of sight at half time. Nigel was poor, PMAC bottled it. Only positive was Clark, more heart and desire needed.
Yeah, I mean, was Nigel that poor? I thought he was all right. In the first half, he made some good runs. But lots of criticism for Nigel.
I think Danny Webb said it, that you know the energy levels weren't quite there, and I think that's really what's let us down today. Yeah.
Kylie 05 said, what happened? Where was the drive, passion and commitment from last week? I will still keep supporting. Hashtag never give up.
At Paul_LT2P, they seemed flat today, like something had happened. Is there some sort of announcement coming next week?
Well, if there is, you'll hear it from us.
As soon as we know.
Yeah, at LOFC 1978 says, decimated squad, despite flashes of effort and endeavour, just low on quality and confidence. Struggle to see a positive after that.
At Ron Sampson 15, we have been totally screwed over by Bichetti. The youngsters have been good, but overall we lack quality. Relegation, a certainty.
Yeah, Jaffa Shamuti said, Newport lost, Hartlepool lost, Accrington and County both drew. There's 13 games yet to go. We can still do this. Come on, you guys. I like that. Bit of positivity.
Yeah. At Len M4, this squad is running on empty, physically and mentally, yet Bichetti won't pull his finger out for signings. Farcical.
Yeah. Kevin Cowan said, what's happened to our great football club over the last 30 months is absolutely criminal. We are down and there's no more to be said. What owner has done is so unfair on a bunch of talented kids who could be ruined by this, as they are simply not ready.
At N Ramsden, Clark, the only positive from today, along with plenty of chances. Shame we haven't grasped the concept of shooting yet, but plenty of football to be played. I genuinely feel with Hunt and Kelly to return, we will have enough in the locker, and that's a good point.
I mean, when Hunt comes back in, who do we replace?
Mezeguet.
You reckon? Yeah. Yeah, possibly. Yeah, at Orient Meat Pie said there just isn't the depth to get out of this mess. Clark looked good, and otherwise most were trying, in brackets apart from McCallum. But then is that because McCallum is playing at 50% fit?
But then you shouldn't be playing him because you've got Dolby and Lyberg, it's not ideal, but 100% from both of them is better than a 50% of Paul McCallum's effort, you know. I won't knock McCallum because the effort that they're all playing for the shirt now,
absolutely.
Which we haven't seen all season, so it's a shame. At Gorillas 1985, second half is the worst under Webb so far. Clark was a very good positive. More needs to start on Tuesday and need to bring back Victor and go for it. Their first choice goalkeeper is out on Tuesday, still in our hands. Yeah,
we'll come on to that a bit later. But a good point about Victor. So obviously with Leibold unavailable, you presume that Victor will come on the bench on Tuesday. Victor's done very well against, was it Morecambe? I think it was Morecambe.
I think it was. He gave him a bit of a tough time at the back, didn't he?
And maybe he'll start if McCallum ain't going to be fit and Leibold, it only leaves you Dolby and Victor if Massey ain't going to play up front. So at Pank P007 said, that second half was as poor as anything all season. We gave Cheltenham the space to pass and run. I feel dejected. Clark was a real highlight though. I mean, was the second half that bad?
Yeah, it was a bit poor. At D David, well, for me it was.
I thought it was alright. I mean, that penalty goes in, it's a different second half, isn't it?
Yeah, but it didn't.
Swings around about.
That's the problem. Yeah. At D David, until Clark came on, balls lumped into our half. Like last week, caused panic. Him and Pollock from now on, please.
Wow.
Good spot.
At Johnny_2699, it's a different few, but I actually thought Collins wasn't that good today. I would have started more, and I also thought Nigel had a good first half.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
That for me is a spot on comment. At Timmy Patton, maybe for a pre-match team talk, let some supporters speak to the team. They're lucky they can change teams. We are not that fortunate. Show them old family photos of the good times. Show them how much the club means to the fans. I'm going to disagree with Timmy on that because I think Danny Webb is doing that for us.
He's starting to get the message across.
Yes. So I'm going to disagree with that. I think he's doing a good job there, but I like the sentiment, Timmy.
Well, I will say Danny Webb is the Orient Outlook can be contacted, available for private functions and parties and stuff
for
like
mitzvahs and weddings.
Yeah. The Authentic Gaz says 14 home defeats this season. 14. That just screams relegation at me, and that's a horrible, dirty stat, that one. Makes you feel unclean, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. I need to wash now. At Will Russell 23, seem to lack pace, energy and effort going forward. At Engana, ineffectual. but very impressive debut from Clark.
Yeah, and we also had an email from John McIntyre. So this will be the final word this week. So thanks for all the tweets to @OrienOwlick, and apologies if we haven't had time to read yours. So John said, after reflecting on the game and reading the tweets that have been sent to you, I want to mention a few things. Yes, today wasn't great in terms of performance. I think we need to be realistic. Remember how many youngsters we have in the team at present. If anyone thought we would play at the levels we have been recently, week in, week out at the end of the season, well, that's never going to happen. However, sitting in the stand watching today, I saw the fight and we're still there right to the final whistle. We were by no means at our best, but they kept fighting in every game up. Obviously, there was a negative response that we are doomed, relegating, and the club's being killed, etc., which I guess is fair enough. Firstly, he says, we could have been out of sight in the first 25 minutes. We created lots of chances in the game without playing well. If we hadn't created anything, I could understand the negative comments, but the fact is, we had more than enough opportunities to win this game. I would also like to point out that we had, to my knowledge, PMAC, Kennedy and Parks all playing with injuries. To me, this shows that they want to play for the shirt. Yes, we've had a bad couple of results last week. We had a couple of great results, but that's football. For me, little has changed. We're still in the same position as we were before. We just have a couple less games to go. And he says, this is still in our hands. We still have Newport and Hartlepool to play. We're creating chances to score in every game, so we have to stay positive, because if we start having to go at the players now, at this crucial point in the season, we may as well all go home. Danny Webb has brought a great mentality and positive attitude to the players and the fans. We have to keep going, win, lose or draw. And he ends by saying, if we beat Stevenage on Tuesday, we'll hand Newport a huge psychological blow as they don't have a game. And in winning that, we can cut them further adrift. So if we beat Stevenage, I believe we'll beat Newport. Up the O's and hashtag we fight together. So thanks for your email there,
great
John.
Great email, John.
Good point. So I didn't realise that. So if we beat Stevenage, we're 6 points ahead of Newport with them to play. And if we beat them also with 9 points. So
yeah,
hopefully.
But
so
it's not them that we need to be worrying about.
No, it's the ones above. Yeah, yeah.
That we need to be chasing.
You still need to come
and
to Brisbane Road.
Who's down there as well? Accrington.
I think now it's just a three-way fight. After yesterday, Cheltenham 6 points ahead of us. Notts County, I think, a fourth. I think it's a three-way fight. Newport, Arsenal, and Hartlepool. I think it's two out of those three now. I really do. I think
It's a shame. Yeah, I mean, Notts County, yeah, and Accrington and Cheltenham jumped above all of them. But
yeah,
you know what? If you get a couple of runs together, a couple of game run together, like if we can get something from Stevenage and from Notts County, from Newport.
Well,
Hartlepool, then
two matches this week. Two matches this week. So hopefully, a very different podcast come next time.
Yeah. So moving on then to wrap up this week's episode prediction league update. We only have one correct prediction this week, as Leon Aresti correctly predicted a 1-0 defeat. So kudos to you, my friend. You woke up that morning and really figured that one out. So O's Fan Basing is still top of the prediction league. Nino Barone 27 is second, and Joe_Pavitt. Strop_O and Leon Aresti are tied in third now, and the full table appears on our Facebook page, so go and have a look, see where you are.
Yep. Fantasy football update: Barry Underwood is top of the league on 1458 points, so he's 21 points ahead of Elliot Humphrey Pearce. I've moved up to 26, so not a bad weekend for myself. However, Harry Kane, who was my vice captain, not my captain, had he been my captain, I'd be 19th and in the top 20, which is my aim now for the season, top 20.
Okay, cool. The ladies' team was scheduled to play Aylesford Ladies today, but unfortunately Aylesford had to forfeit the game, so they didn't end up playing in the end. So we move on to the positives and negatives, and we struggled this week.
A little bit, really struggled. So positives this week, so I only got two for you. Firstly, Michael Clark's second half performance, so well done, Michael Clark, and hopefully you can keep playing to the standards you've set yourself in that debut. And the last positive, still 13 games to get ourselves out of this, so it's not all doom and gloom. Still a long way to go, and like we said, still got to play Newport away next Saturday. Still got Hartlepool to come, and there's going to be ups and downs. There's going to be a few games where we get results, where we don't think we're going to get results, and there's a few games where we look to get results, and games that look easier on paper, and we'll lose. So
yeah,
it's going to be a long end to the season.
Negatives: another defeat to a relegation rival. Yeah. Not taking our chances. We created, but we couldn't take them and put them away.
I mean, I think, as well as not taking them, I think their keepers had a, like we've said, their keepers made, especially the penalty, Josh Perroma,
you're going to argue that we created loads.
It's a bit of both,
he saved the penalty, granted. He made a good save from
Atangana
in the first, effort. Yeah. But it's just how it goes. Fitness, clearly some of the players shouldn't be playing. Lack of squad depth, and I'm going to keep Chisak on this list until we really understand why he's sat in the stands and not
on the bench. I shall be waiting a long time.
He'll stay on the negative list because it is a negative. So, hero of the week, I think it goes without saying that this young man has done very, very well.
So well done, well done
Michael Clark.
Michael Clark, well done,
play, fella.
Well done. So next week fixtures in. So there's two big away fixtures coming up this week, and we're hoping our outlook are represented at both. So on Tuesday, we travel to Stevenage, who are ninth in League Two, 1 point from the playoffs, amazingly, and they're on a very good run. And who would have thought that when we absolutely hammered them back at Brisbane Road 3-0 back in August? So Stevenage beat Crewe 2-1 away on Saturday. Jamie Jones is suspended after getting sent off for a fracas with Chris Dagnall. I don't know if you saw it.
No, I didn't.
Jamie Jones, Dagnall goes in on him, slides him, and Jones is like lying now unconscious, and then Jones kind of like gets up and squares up to him, does something, and then goes down again like a sack of
potatoes. Yeah.
Dagnall goes down, and like Jones is lying on the floor looking like he's just been tombstoned by the Undertaker, like no, like that. Ref gets the red out, so Jamie Jones doesn't play on Tuesday night.
Dagnall got sent off as well, no?
Yeah, yeah.
Both of them got red carded, yeah?
Yeah.
Shame.
Obviously arguing about the penalty situation at Wembley.
Yeah, they had the biggest scouse off in scouse history, yes, is what we were saying.
2.5 years now, we can make that joke. I guess we're finally there. And then on Saturday, we travelled to bottom of the table, Newport, who lost 2-1 away to Mansfield. So Newport took the lead. They just can't keep clean sheets, so Newport away.
That's a really vital thing to say, because we're going to Newport County, we can't keep clean sheets and we're not scoring our chances.
Newport tend to take the lead early.
Yeah, they do.
Early.
They were 2-0 up last week and end up
lost
losing 3-2.
And then they won up and lost
2-1.
So
they've got goals in them, they just haven't got the game management in them.
And if we lose both of these games, we will be bottom of the Football League next Sunday.
Yeah.
Because Newport 3 points behind us. And I think there's one goal, no, say goal difference. So should we lose that,
we're
bottom of the league.
Goal difference, yeah, us, yeah,
3 points. So hopefully we're not sitting here next Sunday saying we're 92nd out of 92. Hopefully, but
strongest team in the league holding the rest of them.
Stranger things have happened. So
yep. So one other thing to mention: Loft are holding a special general meeting on Thursday, this coming Thursday,
yep,
at the Leytonstone and District X Service Men's Club on Harvey Road, Leytonstone. The postcode for your sat navs is E113D for Delta, B for Bravo. The meeting will start at 7:45. Doors open around 7. Those who attended the packed AGM will be pleased to hear that this is a much larger venue in the local area with its own separate bar.
Good. The last one was standing remote.
Yeah.
Absolutely packed. You had to go downstairs to get a drink. It was
and people didn't. People didn't stay around. They were hanging around on the stairs. People just left. The meeting essentially will give members, old and new, a chance to discuss with Loft's board an executive summary of their plans. The summary will be made available publicly to all fans in advance of the meeting. Loft will try and answer as many questions as openly and honestly as we can while preserving the necessary confidentiality of ongoing financial discussions around possible investors. Loft will also present a proposal to set up a fighting fund to be used in the event of one of the scenarios we are planning for Solidifies.
So that means if something happens that they've got an action plan for.
We will set out our thoughts on when, and equally importantly, when not to use the funds raised, our proposals for ensuring financial transparency and probity, and seek input on ways to receive funds.
Yep, so big meeting on Thursday. So if you're a member of Loft, get yourself down there, listen to what they've got to say. I'm sure people will be all over it on Facebook and Twitter and everything else. So that's it. So 52 minutes. So we thought about 45, 50. It's not bad. So thanks for joining us for episode 96. It's been another strange week at Orient. It was all looking pretty quiet until the COO's season ticket appeared on eBay. But on the pitch, another game that we had to win at home versus a relegation rival, and it passes us by in defeat as another frustrating performance ends in a loss. But, you know, chances are being created. Just need to put them away. So two away games this week. The team need our support more than ever. So if you're going to Stevenage or Newport, sing up for the O's, support the boys, and we may see you there.
Yeah, we're going to be back with episode number 97 next week with all the information and views that you could ever need. And as Steve has just said, we will be at Stevenish cheering the team on. Hope to see as many of you there as possible. And also, I'll be going to Newport for the first outing with the Orient Outlook podcast official show for Cliff, driving,
earning
Barry
his money.
And John, yeah, earning his reputation. So look forward to seeing you all there. And we look forward to hearing from you. And as always, keep calm. Keep listening to the Orient Outlook podcast, up the O's. And we're going to end this week with an old school anthem.
Yeah, so get your Ravers hat on. Raven tune, Raven tune. Have a good week. Up the O's. Christmas.